Grace be yours and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text is a gospel lesson appointed for this Sunday. We read in chapter 24, St. Luke's account of Jesus' appearance on Easter night. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were terrified and frightened and thought they were looking at a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they still did not believe it, because of their joy, and while they were still wondering, he said to them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb. He took it and ate it in front of them. He said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He said to them, "This is what is written, and so it must be. The Christ will suffer and will rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning with Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Look, I am sending you what my Father promised, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." This is God's word. In the name of our risen and ruling Savior, Jesus Christ, dearly loved by God. A legacy is something that someone hands down to us. That legacy may come after death as part of a last will and testament. The deceased handed down a legacy to the survivors. There's another sense in which that idea and term are used, and that's in connection with education. A parent, living or dead, who attended a particular university might have an advantage for their child to go there because they went there. That child then is called a legacy because they are admitted as a benefit of them being related to a former student. Now, with the risen Christ, of course, we know that it is the second and not the first. While it's true that no will and testament goes into effect apart from death, and that's true also of Jesus, that when he died on the cross, he put into effect the new covenant of our forgiveness in his sacrifice. But we are still celebrating and celebrate every day that he rose from the dead and that he lives. We are the beneficiaries, the legacies of the living Christ who hands down to us a twofold legacy. The Holy Spirit, through the pen of St. Luke, writes down that twofold legacy for us. And we see that the risen Christ endows us with our twofold legacy. The first part of that is divine peace through his resurrection. The second is our official work as his disciples. The reaction of being terrified and being fearful, seeing Jesus, is not without precedent, although for a bit different reason. They were terrified and afraid because they thought they saw a ghost. If you look back in Joshua, we read about the judge Gideon, to whom the angel of the Lord, or the Son of God, before he became Jesus, appeared to Gideon. And the Bible tells us that when Gideon saw God, he was terrified and he was filled with great fear. But in both cases, the same Son of God told Gideon and then told the disciples in the upper room to stop being terrified, to stop being afraid. And he did it with the same greeting. Peace. Do not be afraid. So he told them, don't be afraid, the same Son of God, and he gave them the same reason to not be afraid. And that reason is peace. We are not terrified thinking of standing in the presence of God. We're not afraid to live before God each and every day of our lives, even though we're sinners and deserve nothing from Him except hell. We're not terrified. We're not afraid because He has spoken to us the word of peace, a word spoken to us by the living Christ, the risen Savior who rose again from the dead. The disciples weren't only terrified and afraid, they were confused. They were confused because some of them, including the two disciples who had met Jesus on the road to Emmaus, when our text starts out with the words, as they were talking about these things, that's what they were talking about. The two disciples on the road to Emmaus were talking with the other disciples about Jesus having appeared to them and having spoken with them. So these disciples that were gathered in the upper room were confused by this report. And in addition to that, some of their women had said, "We have seen the Lord." And so they just really did not know quite what was going on. And then suddenly, no longer is in his humility using the common things that we use as human beings, like opening doors and walking through them, the exalted Christ, the glorified Christ, simply was there in the room with them. And the first word he said to them was peace. The risen Christ standing before them was not a ghost. He was not a spirit. He was there in his flesh and bones, exalted now, glorified now, no longer under the burden of our sins, having paid for them, but in his true physical body that had died on the cross, that had been in the grave, and that now had rose again from the dead. He told them that, and asked them if they had something to eat. And so he wanted to show them that he was indeed there. And so he ate a piece of boiled fish. Now, St. Augustine said that Jesus offered those disciples that piece of fish not out of necessity. Remember, Jesus had to eat before because as a true human being in his humility. But now as a true human being in his exaltation, he no longer needed to eat. But Augustine said that he did that to show his glory, to be give evidence of his power, St. Augustine said. The Christ standing before them was not dead, was not decaying, but was alive and well, and was there to endow his church with their first legacy, peace, through his resurrection. You all know the Hebrew word for peace. It's a common greeting among Jews, shalom. And shalom means really more than what we think about when we think of the word peace. It includes the ideas of health, of soundness of body and mind, of prosperity. So Jesus wished them all these blessings. And by giving them that blessing, he was doing more than wishing it for them. He was endowing it to them. That's his legacy. He endowed them with the legacy, the benefit of peace in his resurrection from the dead. To show that he is God, had paid for their sins, and that they now had new life also for eternity at God's right hand. Jesus' resurrection endowed the peace that he had promised, and he promises us. The Apostle Paul wrote about this also to the Christians in Colossae, that legacy of the resurrected Christ. Your legacy is this: peace through his blood shed on the cross. Jesus did rebuke his disciples for their fears and for their doubts. But at the same time, he dispelled those fears and doubts by giving them the thing that would replace it: peace. Peace by seeing him, peace by touching him, peace by seeing him eat that meal. The power of Jesus' words and the evidence of his standing there before them endowed them with that legacy that is endowed to us: peace through his blood shed on the cross. Peace through the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ is our Easter legacy first and foremost. It's a legacy not from the dead, but from the living. It is a legacy of peace that takes us out of death into life. It is a legacy that gives us Christ's resurrection with its accompanying spiritual health, spiritual soundness, and prosperity. Did you ever think of that as Christians? How different we are as Christians from those who reject Christ? Now, of course, there are exceptions, but generally speaking, don't we have a soundness of mind? We have a soundness of body. We have a soundness of spirit through word and sacrament. Even in the midst of changing circumstances of our lives, all other things being equal, we have that soundness, that health, spiritual health, built on Christ through the forgiveness of our sins and the assurance of our place at the banquet table at the eternal marriage feast of our Savior. The second part of our twofold Easter legacy is work. And not just any work, but official work. Work given to us by the authority of Christ. Worship or work given to us by the power and with the power of Christ. And that official work is to be his disciples. Remember, a disciple is a follower, a student. Every believer is a disciple of Christ. Jesus had left his disciples for 3 days, and now he had come back to them. He told them, "I'm going to leave you again." And in 40 days, he would do that. Over those 40 days, he taught his disciples. He appeared to them many times. He got them ready for when he would leave them again. And then he gave them, or here, he gave them that second legacy, that work of being his disciples. That's an official title. That's an official work that we have from our perfect prophet, priest, and king. And as we await our third and final legacy, and that is our eternal place in heaven at the right hand of God, we busily and powerfully go about that work of being Jesus' disciples. Jesus got those disciples ready first by repeating what he had done for the disciples on the road to Emmaus. He opened their minds so they could understand scriptures, so that they could see that everything that had been written in the Old Testament about the Messiah had come to pass now in him. The first qualification of a legacy as Jesus' disciple is that he has opened our minds to understand the scriptures, to believe them, to see and know that the New Testament is the fulfillment of the Old Testament, that Jesus is the one who fulfilled all those things. And then he told them what the work is: repentance and forgiveness of sins in his name is to be preached to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. So he would send them out as the Father had sent him to proclaim his name to the world. And now he would send them out to do the same thing. And he has sent us out into the world to continue that work. Sharing Jesus Christ with our family, our friends, our neighbors, our visitors who come into church is not a hobby that we can choose to do or not do. It's our official work. It's the thing to which Christ has called us to do and has equipped us to do by opening the scriptures to us and by telling us what the work is, so that we don't become confused about what we're supposed to do. And then later, on Easter night, Jesus equipped them with the Holy Spirit. Remember, he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Whoever sins you retain, they are retained." That's why we studied the ministry of the keys in catechism. That is our power to do the work that Christ has given us to do. And they now had that power. And he would give it to them again on Pentecost. He said, "Stay here in Jerusalem until I give you the Holy Spirit, and then you will take that word out into the whole world." The Lord continues to pour out the Holy Spirit on us through the word and sacrament to strengthen us, to equip us for our work. I know why you would be hesitant to be disciples of Christ, being his witnesses, if you didn't have the tools, if you didn't have the courage or the power to do it. But you do, and I do. It comes from the Holy Spirit, as God gives us that word and the Spirit comes into our hearts. While we await, as I said, that third legacy of eternal peace, we now carry out our twofold legacy of Easter night. And that is our peace in his resurrection and our official work as his disciples. In the Beatitudes, Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God." That's us. That's you and me, or you and I. We are the ones who have the word of peace, of shalom, to share with the world around us. We carry out that work in the peace of Jesus' resurrection as his disciples. We have not received it from a dead man, but from the living God in whose name we live and work. We benefit from our Father's name, because we are truly his legacies. Amen.